Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message today is Be Discerning, and the text assigned to me was taken from verse 6. Right, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We live in an age where the church is very permissive. Anything goes, so long as there is appearance of peace, there is appearance of joy, there is an appearance of unity. And so there is a saying that is very popular these days: love unites, doctrine divides. And so when there is sin in the church, when there is false teaching, well, these are often overlooked, and there is this encouragement for people to come together, to shake hands, to cooperate, even though what they speak may be very different from the Word of God. Yes, they claim love unites, doctrine divides. And yet it is very interesting that here in this particular epistle that was penned down by an apostle that is known as the Apostle of Love, we see this particular session, right, that talks about the need to be discerning and also to be separate from the spirits of error that are out there. And this particular section, if you observe carefully, is sandwiched between two sections that talk about how Christians ought to love one another. Look, for example, at 1 John chapter 3. And then you look at verse 11. And here and there it says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And the example that is drawn from that particular passage was Cain and Abel, how Cain hated his brother, right, because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous, and Cain ended up slaying, like he's slaying Abel. And the encouragement was that all of us should show bowels of compassion and mercy to one another. And then, right, you take a look, for example, at 1 John chapter 4. And you just look at verse 7. And then you see there yet another exhortation, right, for Christian brethren to love one another. Right, for in verse 7 we read, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." And so here we have two sections, right, that talk about brotherly love, right, true Christian brotherly love, and that ought to be present in the midst of the congregation. And sandwiched in between is this section on discernment. Sounds like a very strange placement, isn't it? And yet, if you consider it very carefully, it is nothing strange. For true biblical love is a discerning love. Allow me to repeat. True biblical love is a discerning love. And what we read here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, is nothing new. Right? In verse 1, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." This is not something that is unique only in the time of the New Testament, or only today. But in fact, this was something that was already present during the time of the Old Testament. In fact, this particular passage, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, has its parallel in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Right? In fact, this is a restatement, right, of what Moses had already commanded the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. So turn with me to Deuteronomy 13. Right? We will be looking at these two passages very closely because there are great similarities between these two passages. Right? You turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. And you will see the reason why there are false prophets out there in the world, right? So sometimes do you wonder why there must be false prophets in the world? Why did God permit such men to arise? Well, the answer lies here in Deuteronomy chapter 13. And let's take a look at verses 1 to 3. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 13, God's word says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. And the reason why? For the Lord your God proveth you, put you to the test, so that we may know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Yes, so therefore, whether or not somebody is able to discern and after that respond correctly is a test of love. And so therefore, please do not find the placing of 1 John chapter 4 verses 1 to 6 strange, because it is actually not out, it's actually not a different theme at all from what John was trying to write in the earlier and later verses. It is about love. But John wanted us to know that when we love, we must make sure we love rightly and we love the right people. For today, right, what we see is that oftentimes people love the wrong people. Those who speak falsehood, those who teach things contrary to the Holy Scriptures, those who promote erroneous practices, those who live in a worldly fashion, well, the church embrace and show their affection for all these people. But when people speak the truth, when people do the work of the Lord faithfully and in the manner that pleases God, we see that the church hates them because they speak the truth and neglect to support and to have fellowship and communion with those who do God's work faithfully. And this is really a tragedy, and this ought not to be the case. And that is why here in 1 John chapter 4 verses 1 to 6, and here in verse 1, John means no words and put it very clearly to the readers who are reading these particular epistles. "Look, beloved, believe not every spirit." Stop believing every spirit. Stop believing every man. Do not be naive. Right, so it shows that even during those days, there were some believers who were not exercising their faith and not exercising their discernment, and were already being put away by those who are false. And the same holds true today. Please do not think that just because a person comes to you and say, oh, I'm Christian, I am a pastor, I'm a preacher, I'm a missionary, and therefore that particular person is necessarily someone who is truly from God and is born again. They may very well be reprobate, and they may very well be apostates. And even if it may be someone who along the life have shown in certain aspects of their life to be well in line with God's word, yet sometimes because people are not careful with what they read, people are not careful with what they watch, people are not careful to guard themselves from the influences of the world, and so therefore there may be people among us who may come to advise us, and then the things that they say are actually contrary to God's word. It points us towards loving the world, towards idolatry rather than following Christ. And so therefore, please be very, very careful, for this is a test. God purposely allowed and permit false prophets, false teachers, false spirits to have their time in this world in order to test us whether or not we truly love God and the true brethren or not. And so, take note, you must not believe every spirit, don't be naive, but make sure you try the spirits whether they are truly of God or not. And here the word try is a very interesting word. And the word try here has this picture of putting a particular metal under fire, and then when the metal melts, right, you can see the impurities, and then you can judge for yourself whether or not, right, that thing is truly genuine or not. And I just came back from Tabernacle Church Camp, and in this church camp, there was one member who shared a Singaporean version of it, but an old Singaporean version of it. Not the new version, right? Because in modern days, the techniques used are different, but this is a technique used to make knives and metal instruments, right, in the olden times in Singapore. Because this member, he was, when he was young, in the olden days, he used to live in a shop house in Singapore together with his father. And this would be the kind of shop house whereby you are able to stay on the top. And then at the bottom, you can hold your activities, right? Whether you are a person selling certain goods, or perhaps you may be running a small factory, right? So he was living in such a place, and his father was a person who deals with metals and metal instrument, metallurgy. And so he was sharing how these people, when they do their work, right, it needs to take years to master this craft. And they must be very skillful. Not like these days, you put in the machine and pop, out comes out a knife. But in those days, well, you really painfully have to turn your knives and then to beat it and then to mold it. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. But after making the knife, making the saw, making the axe or whatever sharp metal instrument they were making, they do not just take that instrument and sell it. There needs to be quality control. And how do they do quality control? Well, they have experts that are in the business who know how to look out for defects. And they will literally take it and they put it up in strong light and scrutinize every single part of the knife, the sword, or the axe, right? Or the saw, to see whether it passes the test. whether it is a product that can be genuinely caught by the shop's brand name. So let's say this is supposed to be of sterling quality, so they will watch, oh, my shop is called Sterling Quality, so my knife must be sterling quality, so it must be a genuine sterling quality knife. So it will take and then examine, and then they have several tests, heating, whatever, and then, you know, just to see whether or not the thing is true, whether the thing is genuine. If they will make sure they test rigorously this knife to see whether or not it is true to their standards. Now, this is with a knife. And the process is very rigorous, very detailed. What more when it comes to spiritual things? We cannot afford to be lax. We cannot afford to be apathetic. We must be very careful and we must make sure we put everything to the test. Whether or not it is truly of God or whether it is of the devil. And so, right during the time of Deuteronomy, you see the advice and the exhortation that was, and the command that was given by Moses. And there in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses told the people, well, if let's say you have a prophet among you, and whatever he says, right, the sign and the wonder, it comes to pass. Now, even if the sign and wonder comes to pass, if the things that he says leads you to turn away from Jehovah and causes you to worship the false gods of the nations, thou shalt reject the prophet. And in fact, if you read on in Deuteronomy chapter 13, it says that, well, you must stone that particular prophet. And even if this particular person is your son, is your daughter, is your loved one, is your friend, you shall not spare him. In fact, if it's your own son, right, the father must be the one who takes the initiative to bring him forward and to stone his son. Right, to show others that there is no favoritism, that God comes first of all. Yes, even if the sign comes to pass, but what he says is not true and leads people away from it's contrary to the word of God, you reject that particular prophet. And this is exactly how Satan would deceive us, right? You know, these prophets, when they come, well, right, in those days, they will do all these signs, all these miracles, and people that like to judge things by the externals. And they love the spectacular. And so when they see all these spectacular things, they begin to think, oh, based on my experience, you know, it's something that I can feel, it's something that I can see, I can hear, I can touch. So therefore, this particular prophet, it must be true. And so therefore, I follow that prophet. And before you know it, if you adopt such a thinking, you get led away into falsehood. You get led away into idolatry. That is what we call a person that is naive. He believed every spirit, and he did not try them, and therefore, in the end, it leads to his spiritual detriment. Similarly, in the New Testament, and today, you will realize that many of these false prophets, false teachers, they will appear very much like ordinary Christians. Some may have the appearance of being very gentle, very nice, and they may even come with high academic qualifications, very charming. They have the gift of the gab. And sometimes they may appear to be very helpful to you in your time of need. That's the irony sometimes. The false may appear to be very helpful. And those who ought to be, those who are true, right, when they ought to exercise charity and compassion, they are not there. And Satan knows. And so he will send all these who are false, appear to be very helpful, but there to spread apostasy. And then you are taken in by the charm. And before you know it, you're found to be a denier of God's word rather than a follower of it. And this is, and please not think this is something that is strange again. For the Bible tells us that, right, Satan, right, can even appear as an angel of light, right, in order to deceive the people. And so, yes, please take note, right, of the importance of exercising discernment. It is a love test. Do not be naive. If this, right, if it is true during the time of the Apostle John that many false prophets are gone out into the world, what more today as we are nearing the end of the times? For Satan knows his end is near, all the more. Right, he would want to do his best to deceive. He will double up his efforts in order to lead people astray from God's word. So be very, very careful. Then you ask yourself, how then may I try the spirits? Using what? What is that which I can use to judge and to discern whether or not what a person says is true or false, whether or not a spirit is truly of God or is of the devil? Well, here the Bible tells us two things that we can use to help us to discern, right, the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Two perfect guides. And what are these two perfect guides? Right, number one, God's word. Number two, God's spirit, the Holy Spirit. Number one, God's word. Number two, the Holy Spirit. Two perfect guides for us to be able to discern, right, truth from error. And in fact, this was what, right, God said also in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Right, the test would be, what do you love most of all? Well, do you love God above all the other things in this world? And how did God test the people? Well, you have someone who did all these miracles. And so the test would then be, do you go according to experience or do you go according to God's word? If you go according to experience, then you will end up being deceived. But if you go according to God's word and you check the Holy Scriptures, you are a Berean Christian, you make sure that whatever is taught is truly according to the Scriptures, then your pathway is sure. You will know whether a person is true or whether a person is false. And this is exactly the test that is, right, applied down here also, right? The test of God's word. Right? God's word is a perfect guide, for you read in verses 2 to 3. Right, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Right, so there is this anticipation of the Antichrist, right, that should come, but the spirit of Antichrist is even now already in the world. Antichrist, right, a spirit that goes against God and rebel against Christ, right, that spirit is already around. And what is the, and how is God's word being used down here? Well, right, it's good here that we understand the context of these words. And I believe, right, you are on a series of 1 John, and and you probably recall that this book is written as a treatise and as an apology against those who are incipient Gnostics who believe that the only way to heaven is by the secret knowledge which they have, and so there is no knowledge outside of their association, outside of their group. And this secret knowledge which they teach contains teachings that are in addition to what is found in God's Word. And one of their beliefs, right, of these people with so-called secret knowledge is that, oh, you know, flesh is evil. Flesh is evil. And so therefore, when it comes to Jesus Christ, you know, the Jesus Christ that came to this world is not 100% man at all. He is not flesh. He's just 100% God, but 0% man. And that is a very, very most dangerous and most devilish doctrine teaching. Why? Because if Jesus Christ is not fully man, then he cannot be our substitute upon the cross. He is supposed to be our representative. Right? All of us, right, we are sinners, isn't it? And because all of us are sinners, none of us can take the place of our fellow man to die on the cross. Like, God would not accept a sacrifice that is tainted with sin, that is tainted with iniquity. And so the person that dies on the cross must be 100% man so that he can represent us, and also 100% God. Because he is 100% God, Jesus Christ is 100% God, so therefore this person is one who is sinless. There is no sin. And so yes, you have Jesus Christ as our second Adam, as our representative, fully man, and yet without sin, dying on the cross. And so therefore, whosoever will repent of his sin and believe in Christ Jesus, that he died on the cross, shedding his precious blood, and then was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, that man shall find salvation. And it's truly in the work of Christ alone, right, by grace alone, through faith in Christ Jesus alone, right, that a person shall be saved. But which Christ Jesus? Christ Jesus that is 100% man and 100% God. Not any Christ Jesus that is taught out there, but must be the Christ Jesus that is taught, that is described in the Holy Bible, like the Christ of the Scriptures. And so they have this problem in those days, and so they ask this question as a test, right, because there are many false teachers that go about, right, and they may appear to be speaking the same message, and yet not all are the same, right? Because they have this one point, and this one point is very important, because on it hangs the very faith of Christianity. And so in those days, this was the issue, and so the question was asked: do you believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he is 100% man and 100% God? And if the person says, no, Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, he's just a spirit, he's just 100% God and 0% man, then you know, this particular person is of the Antichrist, of the spirit of the Antichrist. And it does not matter whether or not this person is friendly to you, it does not matter whether he is family, it does not matter whether he may be a pastor or in church, a preacher, an elder, a deacon, a fellowship group leader, somebody of experience in the church. If this is the view that he holds, then the Bible is very clear down here that the person is not of God, because his Christ is not the Christ of the Scriptures. Only the Christ of the Holy Scriptures, that is 100% man, 100% God, is the Christ that saves. Any other person, any other Christ you can teach, you can say that he saves, will never truly save. Because there is only one Christ that saves, and that is the Christ Jesus that comes from God. And the Christ Jesus that comes from God, the Bible makes it very clear that he is 100% man, 100% God. And so, this is how God's word, right, is used here. Right, as a judge, as a guide, as a means for us to discern whether or not something is true and something is erroneous. And that is why, you know, that this movement of charismatism in the world today is so dangerous. For what does charismatism teach? Well, they teach that the sign gifts have not ceased. And sometimes they would emphasize on visions and dreams and healings. And the pastor or people may come and say, oh, you know, last night I had a dream. This is what God said to me. And sometimes the dreams that are said, they are contrary to the Scriptures. And charismatism would teach that, oh, go according to experiences. Go according to what you see, what you feel. And so therefore, sometimes it's very hard to reach out to those who have gone through charismatism before. Why? Because these are things that they have actually witnessed. These are things that they have actually felt. You know, they are things that they appeal to their senses. And now suddenly, you go to them and say, well, it's not senses that should be used as a judge, but it should be God's word that should be used as a judge. And the whole paradigm has shifted. But that is exactly the test, isn't it? Is it God's word first? Or is it experience? Is it your senses? And so yes, go by God's word. And since God's word is that which should guide us into a right discerning of error and truth, but it will mean also that we must know God's word very well, isn't it? And so therefore, my fellow brethren, are you studying God's word? Do you know God's word deeply and intimately? When confronted with falsehood, are you able to see? Are you able to know? Are you able to perceive? And when truth is presented before your eyes, are you also able to recognize it and therefore embrace it and love it and follow it and obey it? That is the key. So you must know God's word. You must know God's word very well. So I'm heartened to know that traditionally, Truth Bible Presbyterian Church have been very much engaged in the study of God's word. I see many of you attending FEBC night classes, and here in Truth Bible Presbyterian Church, there is a very organized system of Bible study. And I believe that the leaders in this church, they have all along been encouraging you to also have your own personal Bible study, a quiet time to read God's word. And that is good, but you must keep doing it. Don't stop at any one point of time thinking, oh, okay, I can lay all these things down. For once you think you know everything and then you neglect God's word, that is the time where Satan may come and then put on his deception, and then you are now fooled because you do not know God's word. And please take note that Satan is someone who has been around since creation itself. And he is one who knows God's word very well and knows how to twist and turn Like just like how he twisted and turned in the Garden of Eden, right, in order to deceive Eve. So please be very, very careful and very diligent in the study of God's Word. But of course, one thing we know about God's Word is this, that God's Word is not like any other book that is out there in the world. The words of Holy Scripture, they are spiritual words. And so spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. And so besides God's Word, what we need also as our perfect guide to discern truth and error would be the Holy Spirit. And if you say that you are a Christian, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit indwells within us. And so, every one of you who truly believe in Christ, right, you cannot say therefore that, oh, you know, I am not able to understand God's Word because I have no Holy Spirit. Now, if you say so, then in the first that you have no Holy Spirit, then, well, you are not a Christian in the first place. If you are truly a Christian, then the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Bible tells us that this Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, right? That is found in the Gospel of John. And that is exactly what we find down here also, isn't it? Because here in verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Right? You can overcome the world. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So there is no need for you to be afraid of all these false spirits and false prophets. There is no need for you to be afraid of all these worldly philosophies that's out there that tries to tear you away from Christ. Well, we should be wary of them, of course. We should be on guard. But no need to be afraid. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is already in us. And this Holy Spirit, of course, is greater than all that is in the world. And this Holy Spirit can therefore help us to be able to see and then overcome the influences of falsehood that is out there in the world. The only thing is this, right? It is whether or not we want to walk in the Spirit to heed the prompting of the Holy Ghost. That is the key. And you will realize that this, because the Holy Spirit, right, will be that which leads us into all truth, will be the one that helps us to understand God's Word, and therefore use God's Word to be able to discern truth and error, that this can be a litmus test to help us discern between truth and error, and also a litmus test to see whether a person is truly of God or not. So in other words, whether a person is able to discern spiritual things or not can be a very good test to see whether a person is born again or not. Because if you are truly born again, then you should be able to discern. How do we know this? Well, you look at verses 5 and 6. Well, verse 5 says, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." So in other words, these people who are of the world system, they are unbelievers. And this would include the false teachers. Well, when the false teachers, they speak things that are false, and when they speak worldly things, well, naturally, it would appeal to all those who are worldly, isn't it? Because, why? They are all of the same group. They are all of the world. And so the world would, of course, understand its own message, isn't it? Just like what the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John. Right, when there are Jews down there who question Jesus Christ, who cannot understand His words, who could not understand His words, but instead want to trap Him, wanted to destroy him, well, Jesus Christ rebuked them and says, well, the reason why you cannot hear me because you are not of the Heavenly Father. Your father is the father of lies. In other words, they belong to Satan. They are still not born again. They belong to Satan. And so therefore, with regards to lies, with regard to things that are contrary to the scriptures, they can find agreement in all these things. But when it comes to the true spiritual words of Christ Jesus, they are not able to understand. So, who do they follow in the end? Well, they follow the devil. They follow the father of lies. They follow the world system. And so it's true also, like down here in this book, in this epistle of John, when, you know, when there is this preaching of falsehood and of worldly things, of sin and iniquity, by all these false teachers, of course, right, garbed in Christian so-called Christian terminology, right, inverted comma, right, they know how to disguise, they know how to use different terms and twist and turn, right, to appear very Christian-like. Now, these people, they, when they hear, they can, you know, they will find a great appeal to such words, and then they follow them. And sadly, this is what we see in the world today, isn't it? With the health and wealth gospel, the carnal preaching, how many are taken in by it? And then when you ask, what is the true gospel? Well, they cannot even answer, what is the gospel of Christ? They will just say, oh, Jesus Christ come to save us. Save us for what? And how did he save us? They cannot answer. They don't even know the gospel. And even in so-called churches, we have the veneer of Bible study, or appearance of Bible study, yet you have people who are sneaking and then they teach, oh, you know the teachings of the Apostle Paul, now in these modern days we must re-examine it. And so they teach things like, oh, new perspective of Paul, re-examine Paul. Did Paul really talk about salvation by grace alone? Let us discuss. And they redefine faith as work. And so, what exactly is their gospel? Well, their gospel actually is the old heresy of salvation is by grace plus works. Faith plus works. Which is really a heresy. The old Galatian heresy, the old Roman Catholic heresy, now disguised in YouTube, and then coming, and then people in the Christian world, they accept it because it sounds very nice. And then they heed, and then they follow. A lot of all these teachings, they appeal to the flesh. Make people feel good. And so, but those who especially, right, do not have the Holy Spirit in them, right, will be taken in. On the other hand, the Bible here says, we are of God. Right, so we are of God, right? You mean Apostle John is also says, and of course, right, he will refer to the recipients of this letter that he is writing. He wanted to believe that they are truly born again. And if you are truly born again, yes, you are. You belong to God, and of course, you belong to God. Therefore, you will have the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? Well, this means that he that knoweth God heareth us, right? He that knoweth God, and here the know is an experiential know. It's not just know the name of Christ. I know that is this person called Jesus Christ, but there is this experiential knowledge of him, and there is this true relationship and true fellowship with Christ Jesus. In other words, Christ Jesus is truly your shepherd. And when Christ Jesus is truly a shepherd, such people, they will hear us. They will hear us. And of course, here, when he says hear us, means to hear, and they will also believe, and they will also follow and obey. And this is no different from what Christ has said in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, my sheep hear my voice, and what? And they follow me. But those who are not Christ's sheep, when they hear Christ's voice, they will not follow him. But Christ's sheep, they hear God's voice, and they recognize his voice, they understand his voice, and they will want to obey and to follow right behind Christ Jesus. And so it is down here, right? He that knoweth God heareth us. On the other hand, he that is not of God, because he has no Holy Spirit, he does not hear us, he cannot understand us, and he will not obey us. And that is the key, that is the litmus test. Right? A lack of discernment. In other words, when a person is unable to discern spiritual things, unable to discern truth and error, it could be very well a sign that shows us that the person is not born again. Because those who are born again, the Bible promise, right? The Spirit will lead you into all truth. And so therefore, when there is faithful preaching and teaching of God's Word, when you come and then you read God's Word, by and by with time, right? The spiritual sight of the person will get clearer and clearer. And then in his life, he is now able to put things to the test, to prove it. And that which is good, he will cling to those things. And that which is evil, he will avoid, he will shun. It will be regarded as an abomination unto him. But sadly, this is what we see lacking in the church today, isn't it? If you read the book of Deuteronomy again, and this time Deuteronomy chapter 32, what you will realize is that the children of Israel, right, they receive of the chastising hand of the God, of the Lord throughout all ages. And finally, right, the Lord says that, you know, there will come a point of time where I would have to fulfill what I've said in my covenant, and I would scatter you among the nations. And if they truly know God, they would have been able to discern that this was the chastising hand of God. Because if the Lord was truly with them, then they should be able to have victory over the nations, isn't it? One shall put 1,000 to flight, and 2, 10,000. But why is that not the case? Well, is it not because the Lord was no longer with them, and their rock has now sold them out? And so this should move them, right? If there is a faithful reading of God's word, and there is a holy, and they are truly believers of Jehovah, and they go to scriptures and they read, or they will have realized that there is this need to repent and then turn back to God. But what was God's judgment of the ungodly generation to come? Oh, the Lord says, they are void of any wisdom and understanding. How sad, isn't it? Now that is Israel. What about the church today? Is it true that the church today is void of all these things? More importantly, what about you? Does this describe you? And take note that we live in a world today that is really very perilous. You look at the false isms out there, right? You have the modern translations movement, which seek to undermine God's word, which cause us to cause us to lose confidence in the Word of God. Then after that, you have the neo-evangelical movement, which is a spirit of compromise. Now that God's Word is, of confidence in God's Word is shaken, right, compromise can now take place. Right? You begin to rely more and more on your arm of flesh, more and more on your wisdom, on your thinking, more and more on experiences. And then you have charismatism, of which we have seen already just now, whereby experience is now placed as the judge rather than God's Word, God's truth. And then finally, what will come will be the ecumenical movement, whereby the religions of the world will unite and unite around the Antichrist himself. And all these things, all these movements are now out there in the world. Can you see it? And not just can you see it, but here, take note, the Bible says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Again, this know is an experiential knowledge. for this knowledge goes beyond just being able to perceive it, but also to respond correctly, right? Just like in the book of Deuteronomy, right? You know that this prophet now is false. What then should you do? Well, reject the prophet and then stone that prophet. Of course, we don't stone prophets today. But what we should do, well, the Bible tells us, mark such people and have no fellowship with them. Have no association with them. And mark all these false movements have nothing to do with this false movement. And yet there is this refusal of the church to separate from compromise, to separate from charismatism, to separate from the new evangelical movement. And then personally for us, when people come with all kinds of advice that is really based upon worldly philosophy, or based upon psychology, which says man is king, based upon naturalism, which says that, oh, you know, nature is king, based upon all other things that is false, like materialism, like money is king, oh, and then we hear and then we follow, and then we order our lives around these things. And then when in the church we are unaware, we first have it individually in lives, we come and then we share it with our brethren. And then the worst is, in the church, we just simply accept everything that is said, and then we begin to practice such things. Oh, God spare us from such lack of discernment. It cannot be. And so therefore, yes, please exercise discernment. If you are truly a Christian, you must exercise discernment, because this would be the test. Do you truly love God or not? And it's not a test that you cannot pass because you have two perfect guides. You have God's word. You have God's spirit. And what we should do, therefore, right, the onus is upon us to go to these two perfect guides, so that we may be able to see, we may be able to discern, we may perceive clearly, and thereby act accordingly, right, in a manner that is pleasing unto God. And so, dear friends, do you love God? Do you love the brethren? Then please be discerning, for true love is discerning love. It would love God's word. It would love the true brethren and hate the false. That is the key. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thee thanks for thy word, which giveth light unto the simple. And how we pray that we may truly be people that are filled with heavenly wisdom. And so, Father, may it be true in our lives that we are discerning, that truly thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And may we be found to have a love that is wholly biblical, that we love thee first of all in our life. This is our humble prayer. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.